for the AFL Ratings Podcast, round 23 rep. My name is Pete, and I'll go by the name of AFL Ratings Pete on Twitter. I'd like to welcome in co-host Aaron Bryans. G'day, Aaron.
Hey, Pete.
You were at a chaotic Adelaide Oval on Saturday night, Adelaide and Sydney. Absolute chaos to finish the game. Can you take us through what you witnessed calling the game on ABC?
Yeah, it was a pretty ludicrous finish. To be honest, the Swans were the better team for the majority of the night. We got to three-quarter time and there wasn't a lot of life or energy in the stadium at all. And Adelaide were able to pull off this miraculous comeback as their midfield kind of stood up late. They get a free kick for an out-of-bounds on the full in the scoreboard pocket. Ben Keyes snaps it from the 30. It looks like it's gone straight through. The crowd rises with the call. He's off celebrating in the front row with a couple of teammates. We've called it as a goal. And then within a couple of seconds, the goal umpires immediately touched the padding and signaled it behind. So we've acknowledged that in the call, that Adelaide's completely oblivious to what's happened. And Sydney, in their incredible maturity, considering their young side, they immediately played on. And in doing so, killed some time in the dying stages, prevented any sort of review because the game immediately continued. And it was enough. It was enough to get Sydney over the line. And in the end, that's ended the Crows season. Sydney are going to play finals football now. So a really chaotic way to cap off a season. And for the Crows, I guess, the frustration that they've had so many chances to possibly push into the eight, and it ends out of their hands in a way because it ended up being a goal once the arc vision came through later in the night. So, a bit of a travesty that it wasn't even checked, considering that we have a look at things that are meaningless at times and certainly waste a bit of time in other games, but when it actually comes down to a thriller, we don't check. So that's pretty insane that it came down to that, and the AFL's acknowledged the error, but there's nothing it can do now. It's not like a siren gate issue where you can go back to when the full-time siren first sounded and change the result. There was a minute of play after the issue, so they just have to stay with the result as it is.
Sydney now qualifies for finals, a fantastic result considering their start of the year.
Yeah, it's a funny old one. I think there was certainly some mental demons after getting demolished in the grand final last year. Their list is stacked. They're full of academy players and first-round picks, and there's a reason why they made it to the big dance last year, but it just wasn't connecting across the campaign. But to his credit, John Longmire is the master coach. He's found a way to get them all in sync at the right time, so they've won six in a row heading into finals. They've got Melbourne this coming weekend. But their midfield is stacked. It's a ton of depth, and the best part about it is, even though they are one of the worst teams in the league for getting first possession at the source, they still dominate clearance, and every player understands its secondary role. And finally getting to see them in person for the first time this year, the way they move defensively is remarkable. Like they're a zone defense, but it's almost all 22, and they will all, all 18, I should say, on the park, but they all move together. It's quite a large zone, but they have this massive tank. And they score a lot off intercepts. Like they can move the ball with pace and efficiency off the half back line. It was a rainy night in Adelaide, and it didn't seem to trouble them at all. So, it looks like the Swans of last year all of a sudden, and they'll certainly be able to do some damage if that's the case.
Yeah, that list build for the Swans is going quite nicely. Even though they made the grand final last year, they've got plenty of youth and plenty of quality youth at that as well. So let's move on to the Crows. So it was a nearly season for Adelaide with so many close losses.
Yeah, it's hard to go, smash them too hard because they definitely have shown improvement. I mean, this is the fourth year now under Matthew Nix and the most wins they've ever had. They've still got West Coast to come this coming weekend as well. So it's just a little bit frustrating of what could have been. Their best footy is certainly top four worthy. They've pushed the best teams, beaten Port twice and gone within single digits of Collingwood twice, Melbourne and Brisbane. So that they deserve to be fifth, sixth, seventh, and they're not even playing finals. There's a little bit of, a wasted opportunity there. And certainly the way their season has now ended, they'll be bitterly disappointed that it was out of their hands and they should have won Saturday night's game. But a glass half full is, how far they've come. The issue is that next year there will be immense pressure in a two-team town, considering they haven't played finals in 6 years now, and historically Adelaide doesn't really go longer than two out of the eight. It's all on Matthew Nix's men now to get it done. Like there'll be some natural improvement of the younger guys in probably the last season for Taylor Walker and Rory Sloane. So they just need to figure it out and play finals football next year, if not finish at least fifth. I think, you know, considering what they've shown and the potential, and that pressure in itself can unravel a side, especially one as young as Adelaide. So, yeah, it's going to be a long off season, but high expectations heading into 2024.
Yeah, completely agree. Expectation will be strong heading into that season next year. So Adelaide and Sydney fantasy wrap. So Rory Lee, 118 points, a solid game again.
Yeah, monstrous, and had to stand up with Jordan Dawson copping the Callum Mills tag. So 31 touches in the end, his 8 tackles. Interested to see what happens next week with him. As we flagged a couple of times on this podcast, he has been playing with a couple of niggles after that big hit about a month ago into his shoulder. So whether or not they rest him now that the season's over, we'll wait and see. But very serviceable this year, considering he had that incredibly poor start in Sydney. And that 40-degree day was one of the big issues for the Crows. They'll look back on and rue that they let that one slide, but it certainly forced a lot of people to jump off at the time, and he backed it up with a 142 and has had a really impressive campaign since then. So pushing closer towards 30, you know, at some point we are going to see him, I guess, drop more towards 100 guy rather than 110, 20 player, but he's still fully ingrained in that midfield, and as we've seen, across this year, there isn't really a player who's going to put their hand up to grab that spot just yet. So I think it's Rory Laird's, at least for the next season.
107 points from Errol Gordon. Now, conditions were a little bit slippery throughout the game and a quiet start from Gordon, but he got there in the end with a solid score.
Yeah, I touched on before about the cardio work of the Swans, and Errol Gordon certainly epitomises that. And it's incredible what he's done this year. If we had a most improved award, he would win it. He's taken this dramatic leap, runs all around the ground, very slick with his efficiency, racked up 30 touches in the end. A lot of those were on the wings, but found his way into forward pockets, really good inside 50 efficiency. So I love what I've seen from Errol Goulden. And, yeah, it's just exciting that he's also doing that without having to dominate centre bounce attendances either. So, very successful year for Errol. He's one you have to have in your grand final week. They've got Melbourne coming up on this weekend, which, you know, he won't cop a tag there or anything. He might get a little bit of attention from maybe Ivani. But I think, yeah, Errol's one that, you know, you won't captain him in this final week, but you need to have him.
And 96 points from Jordan Dawson. As you mentioned earlier, Callum Mills going to Dawson early in that game, but he got there in the end.
Yeah, I'm a little worried just in terms of Adelaide as a whole. When Mills tagged Dawson, it really exposed their midfield. So I think there's a little bit of a game plan there that a hard tag can actually really unravel Adelaide. So we won't see that against the West Coast Eagles this coming weekend. So Dawson should go pretty mega there. He loves to get obviously a lot of footy in the middle and find uncontested ball with some marks out on the wings. So he'll be back to his best for sure. But there's a little bit of a blueprint now on how to shut him down. So they had to move him into the half back line after half time because he just wasn't impacting, and he found some footy there and able to get that 96 is fairly serviceable. But yeah, I'd keep an eye out on teams that can tag, because I think he's now got a target on his back.
Round 23 fantasy rep, 129 from Harry Sheezel. Jack Zeeble got there with a pretty decent score in the end, but it was Sheezel the one who just racked it up across halfback.
Yeah, exciting to see him get so much midfield time as well on the back end of this year. Obviously, Jack Zeeble was playing his final game, and I guess at the start of the year, we were always worried that when Zeeble was in, he would fail to flourish. But I guess no Wardlaw certainly helps. But, Sheezel's certainly grabbed that opportunity, and I think that's where they want him to be in the long term, is right in the guts. So he's not going to be the most affordable player next year after we got him at a basement price, but certainly one that's probably worth holding on to. You don't have to rush to upgrade him if you're in a grand final. I mean, the GPP status is very handy. Gold Coast this weekend in Tassie. So, great year for Harry Sheezel. He's rarely dropped off, and when he has, it's usually just because of who's around him in the team. And obviously, Zeeble is gone now, Aaron Hall as well. So even if he does go back to a half-back line, he's going to find plenty of footy there.
I'll wrap these two up in one hit here. So Nick Newman, slow start, got there in the end with a very strong score, 125 points, and one of the better value late-season picks, 125 points from Sam Flanders.
Yeah, pretty remarkable, Nick Newman's run heading into finals, to the point where he's kind of one that may even be worth bringing in if you're trying to think about a luxury trade. Like, he's just been absolutely dominating in this run home. It's quite exciting. I mean, how many tons is it now? Well, we're looking at five of the last six, I reckon, if not seven of the last eight. So the Giants this coming weekend, like he probably won't get a look in terms of a tag. So again, he gets that freedom off the halfback line and hopefully, yeah, more instilled and ingrained into Carlton's best 22 now after at times being a little wobbly in and out. And in terms of his role, we're now seeing the best of Nick Newman that at times we got to see at Sydney as well. So very impressive performance from him. I think he had like 70 at halftime and slowed down a little bit, but still managed to get a really good score. And Sam Flanders, what an exciting prospect he is, especially if he holds on to his DPP status. Like, clearly he's pushed Noah Anderson out of that midfield in terms of the numbers, which is quite crazy considering Anderson is such a talented player. And the hardest part about the Suns from here is what does Damien Hardwick do? He's got a lot of young talent, a lot of young midfielders, so he'll have to decide, I guess, how he utilises them. But under Stephen King, Sam Flanders has certainly flourished.
On to the next one here, and it was a soft matchup in the end for the Giants, 120 points from Tom Green.
Yeah, another one who's capped up the year quite nicely after what's been, he had his injury, which was really unfortunate, but he certainly feels like a top-tier premium option. The Bombers, were miserable, and they just ran rampant at the Giants, which was, funny if you weren't a Bombers supporter to watch, but I guess if you were a fantasy person, watching the Giants just continue to rack it up would have been pretty enthralling. Jesse Hogan dropping the 188, Tom Green with the 120, but he's consistently getting like high 30 numbers, which is really exciting, obviously, for just a kid who started his career getting a lot of handballs but still high disposal numbers. He's moved into more of a contested ball, he's getting more kicks as well. So one that, we may be starting as our M1, M2 heading into next year. If you're still looking at or thinking about getting him in, Carlton this coming weekend's a good matchup. So, I really like what we've seen from Tom Green.
I'll wrap these up in three hit here. So, Rowan Marshall, the matchup's great, and he smashed there at 141 points. Jack Sinclair, obviously plenty of ball across halfback and inside D50 there. So it was a pretty good matchup for him, and he just got there with a very nice score. Again, 136 points. And Tom Stewart obviously won a lot of his ball deep in defence, 133 points from him. It was a quality score in the end.
Yeah, amazing season. I'll start with Rowan Marshall. I mean, we knew kind of at the start of the year there was that possibility that Ross played two rucks, and he never kind of ended up doing it. Rowan Marshall certainly took advantage of that. And, Geelong are just so weak right now that he just cashed in. The Saturday night was an awkward one to try and loophole him in. If he managed to get it done, congrats. But, he's been excellent. They've got to play Brisbane and Oscar McInerney. But the one that I kind of look at in the flip side is the Western Bulldogs play Geelong next week. So Tim English, it feels like he could go absolutely mega now that we've seen what Rowan Marshall can do. Jack Sinclair, another one who's backed up what's been a really impressive campaign with consistently high scores. Geelong, have dropped off the map a little bit. So I think that's opened the door for some higher scores when traditionally they can be quite a high-pressure side. That new kind of youthful midfield around the grounds, lacking a bit of experience in the ageing legs. St Kilda, just absolutely dominated. So we got to see some big scores, certainly around a couple of players. But, Jack Sinclair was the one who managed to, I guess, peak in terms of scoring with that 136, and Tom Stewart at the other end. We've seen across the year with St Kilda that they're quite happy to sit back and allow defensive units to kick mark around, and Stewart certainly cashed in with 25 kicks and 13 marks.
As it stands right now, Mitch Duncan has a one-match suspension, and I would imagine that Geelong do, now that they've missed out on finals, that Geelong do manage a few players out of that game next week. So it is load management week for quite a few teams, and Chris Scott did mention that in his press conference that they're going to send a few players out to surgery. So just keep a big watch out for that one. So the next one here, and the Bulldogs will wrap up 3-1 hit here as well, and that's Tim English, 146 points, massive score from him. Pretty decent matchup at Marvel Stadium there, even though the Eagles got over the top of the Bulldogs, which was obviously quite a surprise. The midfield was a pretty juicy matchup for the Bulldogs mids. Adam Treloar won 43 points, and Marcus Bontempelli had a massive second half in that game for 140 points.
Yeah, it wasn't looking like Bont was really going to impact until those final few quarters, to the point where if the Bulldogs had snatched a win, he probably would have managed to get a couple of Brownlow votes, and I don't think he will now. But Treloar's had this really remarkable season for a guy that has been plagued by injuries at times and is certainly pushing towards the back end of his career in terms of age. He's been a little bit of a surprise packet in terms of some of the biggest scores that he's pulled off. And We talk a lot about the unpredictability of Luke Beveridge and who he's running through there. Jack McRae ended up the tactical sub. Mm. I mean, I think he's almost fallen into a comfort with Treloar, Bontempelli and Liberatore when he's in there. And Liber obviously wasn't in this game, but Caleb Daniel has filled that role to an extent. But Treloar, yeah, he's almost been a favourite of Luke Beveridge this year, which is quite surprising. I thought he'd be the first one out, considering the big names that are in there. And Tim English, yeah, amazing season. I think it helped him across today that Bailey Williams also copped a little bit of knock, so he wasn't at his best and spent some time on the bench, and Tim English just, yeah, murdered him with 51 hit outs. So he should be the All-Australian ruckman, Tim English. I think Marshall will push him a little bit, but Big Tim is that new type of ruckman. You know, he's being able to get his own clearances, win his own footy, but, yeah, dominate as a tap ruck as well. So I mentioned it before, but that Geelong matchup coming into this grand final week, like, he's the guy you probably want as your captain and do your loophole before him because, yeah, he's going to have a pretty big score and you'd want something at least 120-plus if you weren't going to take that matchup on Saturday night.
And the final player, what he will do is Andrew Brayshaw, 121 points. Unfortunately, Dockers lost that game, but it was a strong game from Andrew Brayshaw.
Yeah, gee, he kept fighting. He was always around the stoppage. He was trying to bust through a couple of tackles. At times, he'd handball it to himself and win his own footy back again, which is a nice extra touch to his name. So, yeah, considering the season's done and it's all really about pride, very good performance from Brayshaw. He's going to be one of the guys who puts his hand up alongside Sarong to be the new leader, I guess, at Fremantle. Luke Ryan had a pretty good score, and they actually flung him full forward in the later stages as well. So maybe keep an eye on that as... clearly, Justin Longmuir, rather, is experimenting a little bit with the season going. Hawthorn to come this weekend's a tough one. Like, Finn McGuinness, where does he go? Sarong or Brayshaw, you know, take your pick. So both can be certainly very impactful at times. So I wouldn't really think about captaining, vice-captaining either of them, to be honest. And, yeah, it's just luck of the draw that hopefully neither of them get severely damaged by it. I mean, even with Melbourne today, McGuinness went to Oliver to an extent, but Petrarca also struggled. So maybe if you have a luxury trade there, the one to sideways, you could go like a Brayshaw to Tom Green.
Where can the listeners find you this week, Aaron?
They can find me at Aaron Bryans on Twitter. I'll be calling the Port Adelaide-Richmond game, which is a little bit of a dead rubber now. It depends largely on how the lines go on Saturday, but... top two is still realistically a chance for the Power, but I don't think it will be by Sunday morning or Sunday afternoon. So that Port-Richmond game doesn't really have a lot going for it. So, albeit I get to call my Tigers, which is great. So we'll see what Port Adelaide decide to dish up. I mean, they have to name their teams, obviously, before Brisbane play. So I still think they'll pick a best 22 to try and freshen up, considering you've got a finals bye anyway. But they probably just want to make sure they're clicking and firing on all cylinders. And the Tigers, meanwhile... no Jack Ribot, no Trent Conchon now. They're probably going to play the kids, so we might get a glimpse at some guys we may be able to pick up earlier next year. So you can hear me on the ABC Listen app from 12:30 or 12:30 Eastern is the bounce down time on Sunday.
Yeah, and for me, that's a massive matchup now for Connor Rosie and also Zach Butters there. So, yeah, I'm looking at some pretty high-ceiling games I would expect there.
If your emergency is warranted, you could actually then push that loophole as far back as Saturday night and VC Tim English and then roll it into Sunday and use a kind of Rosie Zach Butters as your skipper. So the other one that we've talked about the last few weeks is Taylor Walker against West Coast, which it probably doesn't mean as much now that the Coleman race is gone and finals isn't on the line, but he's that Saturday night matchup as well, which is really tough considering that, Tim English is head-to-head with him.
You can find me at AFL Ratings Pete on Twitter, AFL Ratings and associated Twitter accounts there as well, aflratings.com.au for Sacker Fantasy information. Well, all the best in your planning for the final round of the home and away season, Aaron, and we'll speak to you next week.
Cheers, Pete.